Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Oncology. This podcast aims to bring you expert perspectives from a multidisciplinary team on PARP inhibitor combinations for the management of advanced prostate cancer. MDT specialists involved in caring for patients with advanced prostate cancer, including a medical oncologist, a urologist, and an oncology pharmacist, share their perspectives on the rationale for PARP inhibitor combinations for patients with advanced prostate cancer, explore key clinical trials for PARP inhibitor combinations, and discuss extending the benefit of PARP inhibitors through combinations for patients with advanced prostate cancer. Financial support for this medical educational activity has been provided to Touch IME by an educational grant from Pfizer. In this podcast, a urologist and a medical oncologist explore key clinical trials for PARP inhibitor combinations for the treatment of advanced prostate cancer.
Hello, my name is Professor Axel Merseburger. I'm a professor of urology at the University Hospital Schleswig-Holstein in Lübeck, Germany. I'm joined today by Dr. Wassim Abida, a medical oncologist at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in the United States. In this section, we will discuss PARP inhibitor combination in clinical trials, including results and ongoing studies. We've been in contact since several years on clinical trial program on PARP inhibitors. Could you just briefly allude to the rationale for PARP inhibitor combinations? Why should we combine?
Thank you, Axel. It's a pleasure speaking with you about this topic. As you said, we've worked together for a while, starting with monotherapy PARP inhibitor trials. But we certainly now are seeing some data start to come out from large studies of combinations that involve PARP inhibitors. And this is a very broad topic. PARP inhibitors are currently being combined with different classes of agents with varying levels, I would say, of biological rationale, some stronger than others. I think the most advanced data now is coming from studies of PARP inhibitors in combination with androgen receptor targeting agents. And we've recently seen results from PROPEL, phase 3 study of olaparib in combination with abiraterone acetate, and Magnitude, which is a phase 3 study of niraparib in combination with abiraterone acetate. And I look forward to discussing the interesting results. Different classes of agents that are being combined are immunotherapy agents, so immune checkpoint blockade, with some preclinical data suggesting that there may be benefit from the combination, as well as combinations of PARP inhibitors with other DNA damaging agents, which is also, I would argue, in very early phase for the most part. So I think, you know, one of the main topics to discuss, given the advanced state of the phase 3 results, is the combination with AR inhibitors. And the key there is some preclinical data suggesting synergy between PARP inhibitors and androgen receptor inhibition that may extend beyond BRCA or BRCA-like tumors.
Well, thank you for your insights. And I think this was a publication by Noel Clark setting the basis that a combination with the androgen receptor antagonist like abiraterone being used in the PROPEL and Magnitude trials is promising and showed those results. And as you just pointed out 4 weeks ago, we saw at GU ASCO, either live in person or virtually, the exciting discussion we've had in the plenary on prostate cancer from those two trials. So I've learned from you and also out of your publications and trials that it makes sense to test HRR biomarker status. And now we have two trials really in a different direction. One, PROPEL for the all-comer situation, and then Magnitude having those biomarker positive and negative group where basically the biomarker negative showed no signal. Do you have an explanation on the differences here and why, or is this the abiraterone or the difference of dosage of niraparib, or what might be a reason of the differences here?
Good question. It is confusing, and I think the results are muddying the waters. The one thing to start with is to say that both studies in the biomarker positive group, so in the group that included BRCA, showed a progression-free survival benefit of the combination of abiraterone with a PARP inhibitor. Of course, there's a broader question of whether PFS benefit is true clinical benefit, so that remains to be seen. But I think both studies are in agreement that there is a progression-free survival benefit in BRCA or BRCA-like patients when you combine two active agents, PARP inhibitor and abiraterone acetate, in the first-line setting for CRPC. I don't think there's any disagreement or surprise about that. The real question in my mind is that superior to sequential use of the agent? So if we did abiraterone first and PARP inhibitor second, which is the current paradigm, would you get a longer PFS through sequential use and resulting in an overall survival benefit? That remains to be seen. So I think that is the clinical utility aspect of this. Now, the muddy question is that biomarker negative patients, is there synergy from the combination of abiraterone and PARP inhibitor in the biomarker negative group? And there the data is conflicting. I just want to point out that Magnitude was a prospective study designed to test that question in patients who had previously been tested at study entry and were assigned to the biomarker negative group from onset. And there was an interim futility analysis which found no benefit, no PFS benefit for the combination in those patients who were biomarker negative. Now, of course, there was a question of dose. The PARP inhibitor was dosed at a lower dose. And could that have interfered with things? I don't know. We don't know yet.
Yes. So really, thank you for those insights. And this was what was discussed also on social media and on stage. However, for me, it was still confusing showing 8 months PFS benefit without a signal in overall survival, surely knowing that the trials are not made for OS as primary endpoint. It was PFS. So what do you think the future will bring? We have ongoing clinical trials without data reported. When looking at the trials you have on mind, what's the future?
Well, I think that, first of all, we do need to see some more mature data for the combination with AR inhibitors. And also, we know there are ongoing studies now in the castration-sensitive setting, which are really testing the same question. So I think, for me, we need to see the results of these studies to guide clinical practice down the road. I would say that these studies currently do not change practice. I do think there are very interesting combinations in early phase, though, in terms of the future. Certainly I think that PARP inhibitor combinations eventually will extend beyond patients with BRCA. And I do find the combinations of DNA damaging agents to be very promising, at least preclinically. The question is, will they be tolerable in patients? Because certainly PARP inhibitors generally tolerable, but if you combine that with another DNA damaging agent, you may run into therapeutic index and toxicity issues. And that is the difficulty, I think, of extending this to patients who are not as sensitive as the BRCA patients. But certainly I am looking forward to some of those results, particularly as it comes to safety. And as we see radiopharmaceuticals as well, I mean, in a sense, those are DNA damaging agents too. And would we see benefit from combining PARP inhibitors with radiopharmaceutical agents? We're seeing lutetium, actinium, become part of clinical practice, and you know better, I think, than most in Germany, given the experience that you have with these radiopharmaceutical agents. So I appreciate your thought on that question as well, actually, given that.
Fully agree. I mean, this is something, as you said, Germany is a lutetium, not only in diagnostic, but also in a therapeutics country where we use it a lot and in various indications in metastatic prostate cancer. I think we really need to wait the trials. We have vision trial, we have therapy trial, and let's see what the future brings. Also with regards to IO therapy, I haven't given up like IO treatment as of yet fully. So I think it is also something in running trials where we see data in the future. Let's just sum this discussion up. And I'm impressed by, like, within this short time, how you managed to summarize all the knowledge which has been discussed at this couple hours a plenary at ASCO GU. So let's just translate it in a real case. What you would do or what we would do in an MDT, this is a 73-year-old gentleman, mildly symptomatic. PSA 108, is echo performance still pretty fit? Gleason 8 had previous doxotaxel and abiraterone, so going into third line now, and a BRCA2 mutation. So what would you do? How would you identify patients that benefit from PARP inhibition? Would you think this would be a gentleman where you would combine with PARP and AR inhibition? How would you treat this gentleman?
First of all, if this patient is fit for a trial, I'm always in favor of finding a trial for a patient. We know that PARP inhibitor monotherapy would be most likely effective in this patient, but with limited duration. Median PFS is about 9 months.
And you're referring the PROFOUND data now?
Correct. PROFOUND, both PROFOUND in this setting as well as TRITON2, because this is a post-docetaxel patient. So certainly the standard of care would be a PARP inhibitor monotherapy for this patient. But if there is a trial that's open based on a rational combination, PARP plus DNA damaging, PARP plus immunotherapy, I certainly would be interested in offering that to this patient from an experimental perspective. I don't think that a combination with an AR agent would be appropriate for this patient given that he has progressed on abiraterone previously. So I don't see a good biological rationale. But if there is another trial that involves a combination, I certainly would think it appropriate.
Thanks. From my German perspective, I would also add lutetium as one option in this situation now. But like looking at the BRCA2 mutation, this surely calls for PARP inhibition. So I think I can only thank you here for your very expert input in this topic. And you can find out more about PARP inhibitor treatment and MDT care for patients with advanced prostate cancer in the other short videos in this activity. Dr. Adiba Wasim, thanks a lot and great to connect here virtually, hopefully in the future face-to-face again.
Thank you, Axel.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Oncology at www.touchoncology.com. Don't forget, there are two other chapters in this series, so please listen in for further insights from the multidisciplinary team. You can also view a second activity on PARP inhibitor combination therapy for advanced prostate cancer, a Touch Talks with Dr. Neil Shaw on Touch Oncology.